It's Saturday morning in Italy, and you're listening to the Magic Towns Italy podcast.
Happy Saturday, everyone, and welcome back to Magic Towns Italy. I'm Luca here with Anna. Good morning, Anna.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Luca.
This week, we are talking about a question we get often, which is why are so many wonderful, gorgeous-looking Italian villas and castles abandoned or for sale for what looks like pocket change? I myself have renovated several properties and I'm always looking for properties. It's, as people know, it's a bit of an addiction for everyone that has it. The area around Venice alone is home to more than 5,000 historical villas. Hundreds of these are in disrepair and sell, or sometimes are auctioned for prices as low as 100 or 200,000 euro. And when foreigners see this, they think, oh, Italy's property market must be broken. How can it be so cheap?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it sounds too good to be true. And usually it is. So today we want to correct that view. The low price is often an illusion and it's caused by real costs like taxes, you know, renovation works. So people, and especially foreigners, are often unaware of.
That's right. These properties are not cheap because Italians don't think that castles or villas aren't beautiful. They're cheap because the system makes them very costly to buy and restore. And in the next minutes, we're going to talk about Italy's tax code, the property register system, and the heritage laws that structurally punish historical buildings. In other words, which part of the bureaucracy makes it so hard to use and maintain these villas?
Yeah. By the end of this episode, you will understand the reason why these villas and castles languish unsold. So we'll break down the tax traps, the luxury labels, the heritage protections. So all the unsexy realities.
Unsexy realities. Let's start with tax.
Yeah.
30-second primer on the cadastro category. Please don't tune out. This is important and most people don't know what it is. In Italy, there is something called the cadastro category, and it is a code that indicates what kind of property each property is. Castles, villas are in three of the A categories, A1, A8, or A9. It basically means that anything that has that label given by the taxman is deemed to be a luxury property, from fancy apartments to villas to castles or palazzi.
But luxury sounds like a good thing. Like, why do you say it's a problem?
Because in Italy, luxury is basically a tax warning label.
Warning label.
Yes. There's a whole set of tax benefits that disappear and more taxes kick in.
Even if the place is falling apart?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. There can be mushrooms growing through the floorboards, but if the property is tagged as A8 or A9, the tax system treats it like it's a billionaire's villa.
What actually changes?
The first thing is that you don't get any first home tax breaks. Normally, when you buy a property, you pay 2% purchase tax if you're going to go and live in it. In this case, you're going to pay 9% whether you live in it or not.
That's a big difference.
Huge. Luxury homes are excluded from the benefit. So for the same house price, you could be looking at paying 70,000 euro in tax instead of 15,000.
Ah, okay.
Second thing, renovations. Normal homes, when you renovate a property, you pay 10% VAT rate, or sometimes even 4% on all the works. VAT for our US friends is basically our equivalent of sales tax. On luxury homes, you pay 22%. So on a big restoration, you can easily be charged an extra six figures just in tax.
Just for the label.
Exactly. Just for the luxury label.
And that's not the end of it, is it?
No, you wish. There's also IMU, the annual property tax. If you live in a property, you normally don't have to pay property tax. But of course, this does not apply if they are luxury. So in that case, even if you live in it, you pay it, even if it's your only home.
Okay, so IMU renovation tax and yearly property tax, that's brutal.
Yeah, it is. It discourages normal buyers completely. And it is absolutely possible that a family might afford to buy the house, but not the taxes that come with it.
So people actively try to avoid the luxury classification.
Absolutely. Italians would jump through fire to downgrade a property on paper. That label is financial kryptonite.
And just to clarify, this luxury label isn't about actual condition or features.
Not really. Luxury is just a bureaucratic status. The villa can be missing half of its roof, be rotten through, and it still be castle palace because historically it was prestigious. It was labeled as a luxury property and therefore it's going to stay like that all its life. Historically, the law defines luxury homes based on criteria, like if it has large parks, if it has certain fine finishes, if it has a very large pool. But recently, the Court of Cassation, the equivalent of the Supreme Court, said that any property that has more than 240 square meters of livable, usable space is automatically luxury. And I'm not going to comment on that because it is, I think anyone can see that it defies common sense. It is a blunt instrument. And to answer your question, a derelict villa can be taxed 100%, like it's a fully functional luxury estate with solid gold toilets.
No wonder many owners either try to classify the property or just give up and sell. But reclassification must be hard, I imagine.
Yes, you can't just wish it and it becomes true. The taxman actively refuses to reclassify a property. And according to every architect I ever spoke to, it is practically impossible to do. What some owners do is that they let the property degrade on paper, which leads to a weird trick that people try to use to avoid paying taxes, but we'll talk about that later. The takeaway is the tax code treats historic villas as luxuries for the ultra rich, pile on the costs, and that drives away normal buyers.
Okay, so taxes are huge, but let's talk about heritage laws. So many of these grand villas are protected by Italy's cultural heritage authorities. So in theory, that's wonderful because it preserves, you know, the historical integrity.
But in practice, this heritage protection is a double-edged sword. If the property is officially under the purview of the Superintendence for Fine Arts, the owner is not just the owner, but becomes the custodian of that piece of national heritage. The law says that you must, as the owner, maintain and conserve a protected property. It's an obligation. The state can even force you to do repairs or, in extreme cases, step in, do the works, and then send you the bill.
So you're forced to restore it, but at the same time, the state puts strict rules on how you restore, right?
That's exactly right. The superintendent, the local arm of the cultural ministry, has to approve any change you want to make to a protected building. You can't repaint the ceiling, you can't change the window frame, you can't redo the roof without the green light. Long-term listeners know that, thankfully, in Italy, most planning is done at the town level. So you can just walk in to town hall and have a discussion with the local architect, and normally this is a good system. But the superintendent is in large historical cities, for instance, for the Veneto, the superintendents in Verona and in Venice, and you are sending away your planning application, not just to town hall, but to these sometimes obscure entities, and they're not going to rubber stamp your plans. They're going to impose a specific restoration methods, materials that are in line with historical authenticity, and they're basically co-managing the project with you.
I imagine that can mean delays and higher costs.
Superintendents normally take 60 days to review your plans. If they insist on using certain materials, you must follow their instructions. Maybe you want to put in PVC windows, cheap, pretty, energy efficient, and they may cost you 500 euro each. But they may say you have to add custom-made replicas of 1800s windows made out of solid wood, which will cost you five times more. They may tell you that you can't install solar panels, or they might tell you that you can't install a pool because it is not, and I've seen this before, compatible with the historical background of the building. Their priority is to preserve the heritage, not making your life easy, and certainly not to make you make money.
Right. They don't care if you have a comfortable home at the end. They care that the character and integrity of the villa is intact. I recall you saying once that officials would rather see a building crumble than allow inappropriate changes.
I looked at a 16th century villa not far away from where I live, one of many examples. It sold for only 60,000 euro, and it was so cheap because it was doubly cursed. It was classed as a luxury property with all the tax stigma we discussed before, and it is heavily protected by the superintendents. A town official told me, basically, he admitted that there was nothing that a buyer could do with it that would make it economically viable. The heritage rules would prevent it from being turned into apartments, and no one is willing to pour money in just to make the government happy. So effectively, what they said is it is better to let it rot than to allow it to be turned into modern apartments.
Yeah, that is sad and frustrating. But are there any upsides to a property being protected, like any grants or tax deductions to offset this?
There are some perks, but to be honest, they're not that great. You can get some tax deductions if you renovate. It's, you know, pretty small fry. Sometimes, and trust me, this is very rare, there are grants that cover a portion of the conservation works. The bottom line is that none of these advantages cover anywhere near the full cost of restoring and maintaining these properties.
Yeah, so you might save a bit on taxes by doing restoration, but you'll spend far more complying with the heritage requirements. I recall another catch. So if a building is protected, the owner has to offer the state a right of first refusal when selling, right?
If any of these properties are sold, the state effectively has 60 days to buy the property from you at the same price. But to be fair, this is already exercised as the Italian state has hundreds of thousands of historical buildings and no money to buy them or fix them.
I can imagine a foreign buyer thinking, maybe the government or the EU will give me a big grant to save this villa, but in reality, beyond small tax breaks, you're on your own, basically.
That's right. So in practice, this means that often heritage protection discourages individual buyers. And this is another factor that is reflected in the low sticker price. The luxury or protection status of a property is rarely advertised by real estate agents because it scares people away. But eventually you're going to find out, and I mean, you better know what it means before you buy.
Yeah, before you talked about a cadastral trick, so declaring a building a ruin or not. Let's get into that.
The bottom line is that if you have a building that's still viable or working on paper, then you pay property tax on it. And if it is classed as a ruin officially, you don't pay property taxes on it.
So if I inherit grandpa's crumbling villa, I'd want to declare it a ruin to avoid paying property tax every year on a house that I can't even live in.
Yes, and a lot of people do this, but there's a huge catch, and mostly they come to regret it. Once you declare a property a ruin, if you decide in the future, if another buyer decides to renovate and make it habitable again, the law says that it has to meet current standards for habitability. So let's say that it was a house from the 1800s. If it was on the books as a usable house, you can't bring it back and say, oh, it's the 1800s all over again. It must now meet all the requirements of 2026 structure, systems, energy efficiency, etc., as of today's regulations.
What would that entail?
That obviously changes the scope and the cost of the renovation. You will have to add modern insulation, reinforce it against earthquakes, install compliant utilities. You have to do this. It's not optional, and you won't be able to go back and live in the place again or sell it like a livable place until it's done. So in a nutshell, some owners prefer to keep a decaying villa listed as habitable and pay the taxes that come with it rather than declare it a ruin, because it's going to make it unsellable as a ruin, as the buyer would have to go through hell to make it habitable again.
So either pay taxes on a husk of a building or save on tax now, but pay more in construction later.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
One final thought before we go enjoy our Saturday. We hear that a lot, like foreigners dreaming of transforming a palace into a beautiful hotel.
And I'm glad you mentioned this. The entrepreneurial spirit is very welcome. Italy needs it, but you have to be careful. Converting a historic villa or castle into a hotel requires the superintendents to say yes again, because you're going to have to make some physical changes, and you're going to have to convince the town that it's fine to turn it into a commercial building. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Don't buy the place unless you agree with the seller that you're going to get permits before you actually fork over the money.
If you want to take on such a project, good for you. These communities are often very welcoming of someone rescuing a local landmark. Despite all the hurdles that we mentioned, some people do succeed and create something wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. We are supporting you from the sidelines. Just do your maths and be careful. And most of all, talk to an architect before signing any papers.
Exactly.
We hope this was interesting and we'll talk next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
That's it for this week on Magic Towns Italy. You can create a free account at magictowns.it and explore over 2,000 towns, including those offering the 7% tax scheme, as well as download dozens of expat guides. We have over 200 data points per town, more than Italy's statistics authority itself, covering everything from property prices to schools, healthcare, crime, and more. If you want full access to filters and unlimited searches, upgrade to Magic Towns Premium. Use the code PODCAST for 20% off an annual plan. Thanks for listening. Our next podcast will be live on Saturday at 9 a.m.